Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. When you think of giving God glory, which is a good thing for you to think of, what comes to mind? What does that mean? Have you really thought about the significance of it? I mean, God is all glorious. God is maximum glory. So in what possible sense can we, the puny creature, give glory to God? Well, it's not in the sense of adding to his glory. In a sense, you could say it is understanding and comprehending more of the glorious God that he is. John Piper uses the illustration of the telescope and the microscope. He says, when you use a microscope, you are looking through the lens at something that is so small, and it looks huge as you look through the lens, something that's teeny, teeny, tiny. I don't think Piper used those words, but you understand the point. But in contrast, when you look through a telescope, you are looking through a lens that is making something that is absolutely massive a lot bigger, right? So when you see the planets in the skies at night or the moon, it kind of looks small and manageable. But when you look through the telescope, especially a high-powered telescope, they appear to be massive, which is actually a lot closer, much closer to reality than what we can just see from our vantage point on the earth. So as you give glory to God, you are seeing God through the telescope, right, of the scripture as he reveals himself to us and through creation. And you're realizing God is much bigger, much more massive than we ever realized. Well, this reminds us of the final slogan of the Reformation, Soli Deo Gloria, glory to God alone. And James Montgomery Boyce said, each of the great solas is summed up in the fifth Reformation motto, Soli Deo Gloria, meaning to God alone be the glory. So one scripture that he points us to, which is a great place to go to, is Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. It's one of Paul's glorious doxologies, if you will, as he is summarizing this great section of the salvation of Israel after talking about the greatness of salvation. He says these words, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has been given a gift that he might be repaid? Here's verse 36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. To him be glory forever. Amen. To him be glory forever. Amen. That is what it means that we want to be about Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be glory. When you think about the Reformation and the time of the Reformation, before that came along, before we had guys like Martin Luther and John Calvin and Ulrich Zwingli, theology was very man-centered. And of course, that's the case in a lot of churches today. I mean, there was a whole movement all right, we need to take surveys of unbelieving friends and neighbors to find out what they want in a church, and let's make church like that. Well, isn't it far better to say, what does God want in the church? And let's make our church like that. Yes, of course, we want to reach unbelievers with the gospel and be aware of unbelievers and what they're thinking about. But we don't make our churches based on that. Our churches then would become very man-centered, as that whole movement revealed. That's exactly what happened. Instead, we want our churches to be God-centered. I told you before, some people ask the question, what does it mean to be Reformed? And I think the simplest summary is that the church is God-centered. God is the middle of everything. God is the sun in which the planets go around, instead of everything is about our planet and everything in the universe goes around us. No, we want to be all about God. And so if the glory of God is the accent over all of your life and ministry, individually and as a church, then you would love the slogan, "To God alone be glory." And so that's what Martin Luther and John Calvin and Zwingli started discovering as they got deeper into the scriptures and taught more and more about the scriptures. They recognized that there is a God-centeredness about the Bible, which corresponds to reality. Everything in life revolves around God. Only bringing him glory is the most important thing you can do. You know, we sometimes talk about Sunday school answers. The answer is that if you've grown up in Sunday school, you know that you have a pretty good chance of getting the question right if you answer Jesus, right, to the questions that come up in Sunday school, or the glory of God. Okay, well, what's the ultimate purpose of this? The glory of God. Well, okay, that's right, because that's the ultimate purpose of everything, bringing God's glory. You remember the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question one, what is the chief end of man? What's your whole life about? What should every ambition of your life about? Oh yeah, the glory of God, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. It should be all about bringing him glory, only going by his word. Salvation is only by his grace and his gift of faith. That's why James Montgomery Boyce can say all of the other solas, scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, it's all to the glory of God alone. So this is the great summary slogan of everything else. God didn't grow. He didn't grow during the time of the Reformation, but, oh, wow, did the people recognize God's greatness in a way that they didn't know before? Their view of God grew immensely. The Lord Jesus was center to all of life and the gospel. And of course, that leads to a great emphasis on the Holy Spirit as well. So, are there other scriptures that would point out this to us? Yes, we've got this wonderful doxology at the end of Romans 11, to him be glory forever, which kind of comes right out of, for from him and through him and to him are all things. But are there other scriptures as well? Yes, absolutely. But before we get to there, let's just swim a little bit in this wonderful passage. Let's just think for a moment. From him are all things. Everything comes from God. What do you have that you haven't received? And if you've received it, why do you brag as if you haven't received it? Because everything comes from God. When you look at the beautiful sunrise this morning, I don't know if you got a chance to see the sun shining brightly where you are, but that comes from God. When you see the sunset and the way that the sun rays are bouncing off of our atmosphere. And it looks like a work of art sometimes as the sun is setting. Maybe you just are going about your life and you didn't notice. But when you notice, what do you think? This is from God. All things are to God. Everything is flowing to God. It's all about His purpose. All of life is the unfolding of the plan of God in human history. It's all through God. Everything is sustained by God. Jesus says, I hold all things together. I'm keeping all the molecules in place. I'm working my plan, says God. All things are working to the glory of God. All things are working through the power of God. All things are working according to His providential control of everything, and it's all working out to His glory. Are you aligned with that today? Is your life all about you, or is it all about God? What about your church? Is your church all about you, or is your church all about God? Are you Reformed? Well, if you mean that the glory of God is the accent over all of life and ministry, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I want to be known as Reformed, if that's the way you understand Reformation theology. We've got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to see how this fleshes out in our church and in our lives.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Krautz in just a moment. He's going to continue to remind us whose name actually belongs on the marquee. And if you haven't figured it out by now, it's definitely not ours. But while we're here, if you have just a moment, I want to point you to something that makes it way easier to stay connected once this episode is over. And that would be Fortis Plus. Think of it as one central location to go find everything we create, because that's where it all lives together. You don't have to remember which app hosts which show, or which website to go to, or where to find this, or where to find that. No, you don't have to do that. It's all in one location. You just open up Fortis Plus, and there it is. Right now, you're going to find hundreds of hours of content that is freely available, and we're adding to it every single day. Here's the best part. I said freely available, right? That means there's no cost to use it at all. There's no trial period that kind of sneakily becomes a subscription. We don't do that kind of thing. It's free today. It's free forever. And you can find it in your app store, on your smartphone, or even most smart TVs. All you do is go to your streaming app store and search for Fortis Plus, and you'll find the app to download. You can also find it at fortisplus.org. Now, here's the reason that everything stays free. Our heart has always been at this ministry to not put a payment at the gate of the entrance. That's what we have always desired to do. But we've only recently been able to get there. And we are at that place now where everything is absolutely free, and it will remain free. You will never pay for anything at Fortis Institute. And the reason why is because we have men and women just like you who are giving to keep it that way. They give monthly so the next person who finds us is not turned away. That's who we call our gospel partners. And we would love for you to think about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner if you have the ability to do so. If you've been helped by this ministry in some shape or form over the last 25 years, and you're already faithfully giving to your local church, then we would be honored if you would start praying about what it would look like in your life to join us as a monthly gospel partner. Now, again, you got to be giving to your local church, though. That is your first giving priority. So if you're not giving there, get that cleaned and cleared up before you ever consider giving to our ministry. FortisInstitute.org is where to go to get started. All right, let's get back to Dr. John Krautz now. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Krautz.
Welcome back. We are considering the slogans of the Reformation, and we are at the climactic conclusion of our study, Glory to God Alone, Soli Deo Gloria. Now, when someone comes to membership in our church, Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and we interview them, we often talk about how the purpose of our church is the same as the purpose of every individual Christian. That is, to glorify God. And we understand that churches glorify God in three ways. We call it the three E's: edification, evangelism, and exaltation. Now, lots of churches would say some of the same things, but isn't it interesting how churches that might say, yeah, we're about evangelism, we are about building up Christians, we are certainly about worship. These same churches, which say they're about the same things, can come out very differently. Why is that? How does that work? Oh, why do they look so different when they say they're about the same thing? I mean, we want to have our purpose define what we do and why we do what we do. So how can it look so different? I think the answer is theological presuppositions. I've compared it to a locomotive. So if your purpose, the three E's to the glory of God, is the locomotive or the train engine, your theology is the tracks upon which the train runs. So if you have man-centered theology, well, where you've got a low view of God and a high view of man, a low view of sin, and therefore a low view of the cross, because it's just a little problem that needs to be solved. So you don't need a massive cross, you just need a little cross. Well, then your evangelism that you say you're about looks really differently. I mentioned the church growth movement, where it was like, take surveys of what unbelievers want. Let's make our churches like that so that seekers will come and feel welcome and happy and that they belong, even if they're not saved. This is great. This is like a better version of the club that you're part of. No, that's not what church ought to be. You say, well, worship. What does man-centered worship? Well, let's pick the songs you like. Let's make the songs words all about you and how you feel and what would be more meaningful for you. What about building Christians up? Well, if the goal is self-fulfillment and making me happy, then let's make all of our Bibles study about that end. But if we flip it and we put our locomotive on a different set of tracks, the God-centered kind, where the glory of God really is the accent of everything, and God is massive, therefore we are small, and our sin is awful and rebellion against the living God, therefore we're desperately dependent on the Holy Spirit, and we need a massive cross to see God punish Jesus in the place of us with our huge rebellion and all of that. Well, then our evangelism is, oh, wow, you have a great problem. You can't imagine how sinful you are, and you can't imagine how the cross is God's antidote to your greatest problem, and the resurrection proves that it's all true. And oh, wow, we can't believe that God would love sinners like us and God would make this way of salvation. Then what does it mean to build up Christians? Well, learning about God, learning about His Word, doing the hard work of seeing how God reveals Himself and His ways to us in the Bible. Let's understand it. Let's apply it to our lives so that we can give more glory to God, and our worship is about Him. You know, if God is pleased with our music and the lyrics that we're singing, and if you don't like it at all, have we succeeded or have we failed? Well, we want to ask questions like, why don't you like it? You know, that kind of thing, right? So we're not just saying this is a complete black and white answer, but the point I think is made, if God is pleased, oh, we have succeeded. Mission accomplished. Even if it's not our favorite song or our favorite style, that's what it means that the glory of God would be the accent over our church and over our lives. We want God to be glorified and God to be honored. Well, how does this match up with the scriptures? Oh, it matches up exactly with the scriptures. Listen to these. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. even the smallest things in our lives ought to be done in a God-centered way so that God would be pleased with us, not that we would be self-fulfilled. Oh, wow. Think about eternity. What's going to matter 10,000 years from now? That we had a healthy, happy life, or that God was honored? Wow. We're not minimizing that God wants us to be happy in as much as our happiness is in Him and His glory. Absolutely. That's the best kind of happiness at all. And God gave us great things in this world to enjoy. But even then, we enjoy it to the glory of God. Listen to this summary conclusion in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do far abundantly more than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. These doxologies tell us something, don't they? It's all about God. Our attention should be aimed at Him and His glory. Here's a passage in 1 Peter 4 about spiritual gifts, verses 10 and 11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So God gives you spiritual gifts for service within the church, building up others, serving in God's strength, speaking God's word, God's truth in love. Why do we do all of this? We do it for God's glory. God gets glory in the church. God gets glory as you serve within the church. So the glory of God alone, that's a great one. I love that slogan. We have that slogan on our church sign. So if you're driving along Highway 34 in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and you want to stop in to our church, you see the words Faith Bible Church, but underneath you'll see Soli Deo Gloria, where we want to be. Our great ambition is to be all about the glory of God. And I hope that's true of you. I hope that's true of your church as well. So we've been considering what it means to be Reformed. We want to say, quite honestly, that later Reformed theologians went into some other areas that we would have differences in. But this is the essence of the Reformation. This is the essence of Reformed theology. And in that sense, we wholeheartedly stand in line with these traditions. Again, not just because John Calvin taught it and he was a great Bible teacher. No, we want to get our theology from God, but we stand in line. We didn't just make it up on our own. We stand upon the shoulders of godly brothers and sisters, gifted teachers throughout the history of the church. And we're so thankful that when it comes to the biggies, we're right there with them. That's why I recommend that people read, even people, again, that I would have some differences with, like R.C. Sproul, or like the Reformers, or the Puritans. That's incredible, because on the main things, we are right in line together. And these slogans of the Reformation, these five solas are representative of the main things. R.C. Sproul gave a great summary of the five solas. And he says, in a very real sense, though they spin on different axes, these five are one. The Bible alone is God's infallible revelation of His glory, which reveals His grace in Christ, which becomes ours through the gift of faith. God's grace is uniquely revealed in His Word, which reveals the work of Christ, which becomes ours by faith, all redounding to His glory. How great is that? They all flow together. They're all pointing us to God and His glory. may it be true of you today that you don't just hear these things as revealed in God's word, but you do them. You are doing your work as unto the Lord for his honor and glory, not to add glory to him, but to reflect and magnify what glory is already there in our glorious God. So go do God's word.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krotz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.